Thank you for tuning in to the Afternoon Pint Podcast. Our show will start right after these messages from our sponsors.
Hey, Matt. We're thinking of selling our home and finding a bigger place.
Oh, really? I thought you guys loved where you lived.
Oh, we do. Our family is just growing. With pets. A dog. A cat. Two guinea pigs. A hamster.
And you're planning on getting more?
Maybe a goat or a crocodile.
Well, I have the person for you. Kimina Jad is an experienced real estate agent who prides herself in finding the perfect home for her clients.
We're just browsing now. I'm not sure if we really need a realtor yet.
Yeah, no worries. Kimina can help you with the comparative market analysis to help you determine the value of your home if you're planning on selling, or help you determine the going rate for the neighborhood you're moving into. She can also work at your pace.
Awesome. All right, I'll give her a shot. What's her phone number?
On Facebook, Kimina Jad, Exit Realty Metro. Her phone number is 902-880-8429, and her email is kimia@exitmetro.ca.
902-880-8429. Awesome. Thanks.
This podcast was brought to you by Dan Lomas. That's L-O-M-A-S of lomasfinancial.ca.
Are you a small business owner who wants to keep more of your hard-earned profits and pay less taxes to the CRA? Do you want a plan for a comfortable and secure retirement? If your answer is yes, then you need to talk to Dan Lomas at Lomas Financial.
Dan Lomas is a financial advisor who has been helping successful entrepreneurs and business owners for over 2.5 decades. He utilizes customized solutions that can help you keep your earnings, dramatically reducing passive income tax.
Dan Lomas and his team will help you transition corporate wealth into personal wealth by utilizing customized executive pension plans. Dan will show you how to convert business wealth into personal wealth in a professional manner.
Don't let the CRA take more money than they deserve. Don't let your retirement dreams fade away. Contact Dan Lomas today and let him guide you on your path to financial success.
Visit Dan Lomas at lomasfinancial.ca or call him direct at 902-209-0855. That's 902-209-0855.
This is Matt Conrad.
And this is Mike Tobin.
Welcome to the Afternoon Pint. This week, we speak to Big Ben Dempsey. We talk to him about his recent win on Tough as Nails. We also speak to him about some of his lowest days and how he overcame them and became a literal champion. Enjoy.
Good light. There we go.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hey, gents, how you doing? Welcome to the Afternoon Pint.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
All right. This is Matt Conrad. We have Mike Tobin here over here to my left. Mm-hmm. And our guest today is Big Ben Dempsey, as everyone keeps calling him now, which I like it. It's a great nickname. So Ben is the most recent winner and first Canadian winner, the champ, as we saw the belt earlier, of the Tough as Nails reality show, I guess, as you can call it.
Congrats, so this man. Is,
yeah,
congrats.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So this was season 5, first time they let Canada involved. Tell us a little bit about it. Just a little bit that those kind of first experience of what it was like, and how did you even know about it? Like, how did you get on?
Yeah, so I mean, I was always a big fan, like, of the show. You know, my mom and dad were big fans, and dad just reached out to me one day. He said, "You know, Phil, he's allowing Canadians to compete," and I said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, you should give it a go." And I said, "Yeah, maybe I will." So, I mean, that night, as soon as he said it, I applied, and things just kept on going well. Obviously, you got to be really physically fit, but it was kind of on a whim, and I just went for it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So the interview process about, like, obviously, like, is it one of those ones where you have to, like, submit a video or something like that, or, like, do you just submit a resume or...
Yeah. So basically, it's like it's just like a real light resume. But as you move forward, you got to do it's basically what they call is the brutal truth challenge, and you follow a video, an 8-minute video, to see how many burpees you can do in 8 minutes.
Oh,
and you got to videotape yourself as well. So I'd say every once a week that I did that, I was not looking forward to it at all.
So wow. At its essence, just for people that might not have seen the show, Tough as Nails is like a reality show. It's Like, what goes on there? What are you competing for? What are you, what's everybody competing about? What are they doing?
Yeah, it's basically to advocate the blue collar trades, both men and women, and you're created, with the men and women, you're both created equally. And, you're basically there to, show your skills and, you know, compete on all different levels of the trade. Maybe not just your given trade, but it could be, you know, it could be welding, as you've seen, or, yeah. you know, it could be anything.
And, cool. And, yeah. So what's your trade, man? Like,
so I'm a tile setter. I own my own business, but I think a lot of the reasons why the people are on this show is because they have a wide variety of skills and life skills. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I was a fisherman for 2 years. Oh. I worked on the oil rigs for 7 years.
Whoa.
You know, okay. I was a tire mechanic. I worked at a pulp mill. So it was, you know, it's one of those things. I think when you put out your resume, they're looking for those type of people that have yeah. a wide variety of, trade skills and life skills.
Cool.
So with all of that, I mean, we can go back to the show in a minute there, but I mean, with all of that, like what, mm-hmm. what made you get into tiling? What kind of made you decide like, hey, this is the trade I want to do?
Yeah. So basically like, you know, I grew up playing, you know, a lot of sports.
Yeah.
And it was always kind of, I never knew what was next. I always played hockey and that's all I knew. I knew I wanted to get into firefighting. That didn't pan out. And when that didn't pan out, it kind of threw my life for a loop. So that's when I started going out to the oil rigs, like, you know, every East Coaster does to make a quick buck. And, yeah, I was never really happy with myself as far as like, what am I going to do that's fun in my life? And, you know, eventually I just found something, that I really found like it was my niche, you know what I mean? I was always good with art and stuff and I have, you know, I have OCD, so it helps in the tile world. And,
For real? You have OCD?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Big
wow.
time. Yeah.
So that helps you with the design.
With the design. And yeah. The contractors really like
high, it. High amount of focus that's required to do that job and do it well. Eh?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny that's too, because cool. when you say like that, I mean, I'm just looking at the tiles on the floor here and like, cause mm-hmm. they change over there and there's probably a whole lot of work that goes into like matching that up and everything, so it's like you kind of definitely would need to be really really careful with
yeah,
the tiles
yeah.
in, because once you start, if you get halfway across a wall and you realize you're off, like you're off.
Yeah, yeah, there's no going back.
yeah it's a lot of work kind of thing.
Okay, so I'll give you a quick pass if you don't want to answer this.
Yeah,
but like contestants on these shows, man, are they mean or are they nice or there's like in between? I always wonder, like, are these people conniving? Like, my girlfriend watches that the Love Island ones, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, these people all seem just so terrible.
Yeah. No, I mean, when you're first there, you don't really have time to dive deep into their personalities, right? Even if you watch the first episode where me and Paul, the other Canadian, became team captains, you're competing already. So when you go to pick your team, you don't know what these people are like, right? You're only going with your gut.
Right.
And when I went into it, I knew I was like, I don't really want any real alphas on the team. And I didn't pick my team because of that, because I just didn't know. But I just went with my heart. And, you know, every single person on that show is there for a reason. They're all great people. I mean, everyone has their things about them. And everyone has their strengths and everyone has their weaknesses. It's just, you know, I think I got semi-lucky with the team I picked. Nice. Right? So
speaking of the team that you picked,
yeah.
because your team was very strong.
Very strong, yeah.
Three of your people on your team made the finals.
Yeah, so that's a good pickup. Not too many people notice that. But
yeah. So that was the thing, is like what I wanted to kind of talk about there was like, I'll quickly kind of give for anyone who doesn't know the show, a quick thing that I liked about the show that was so unique to other reality shows. Outside of the fact that it's construction or you know, tradesmen, is that when you get eliminated, or time out or whatever it is, the clock out, you're not gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's really cool about this show is like,
what do they do?
You stay on as part of the team,
right?
You can earn money as part of the team. Then when the team wins money, they split it X amount of ways.
Right.
Cool.
So you can stay on. So people stay on the whole time because they want to continue, obviously, to earn money.
Can they choose to stay on or say no thanks and just take off?
Like Matt said, like there's two competitions in the series, right?
Okay.
Like you're fighting with your team and your first team to get 5 badges, your 5 wins essentially, gets that extra $60,000. But every every team competition that you're doing, you can win $12,000. So it'd be $2,000 a person, right?
Jeez,
right.
That's great.
So you can still win money. I mean,
it makes that team element really work, right? As opposed to just falling apart and everybody getting upset with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think like the greatest thing for me is even when I went into it, it was like, I really want to do well in my team element.
Mm.
And I really want to do well in the individual because, you know, I like to show that you can work as a team so you can bring money to your whole team and, you know, and also show that you're very well skilled in the individual world too, right?
Nice.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's with that is like, obviously you're a team, but there's an individual element. You know, is the team element still strong or is there any dissent at all or anything like that?
Like when one punches out?
Or when one punches out or when you realize like you guys are actually competing against each other as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I felt like, for example, like just when you're like, for example, Yessie, when she was on, she punched out first on her team.
Yeah.
I was like, I had so much grace for her and admiration she was very admirable because for me, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I punched out of the individual. Do I really want to be here with my team to fight for that? You know what I mean? And our team was very well skilled that way and bonded that way where they were still motivated to keep us strong. Right. So, I mean, that was very admirable of my team is when they punched out, they still were like, you know what? We're doing this for dirty hands. Right. So
awesome. That's cool. That's one kind of
thing. Punching out means like
you're eliminated.
Quote unquote. You're done from the individual.
So they put a little like,
they don't twist. Punch out themselves.
They put a little tradesman out. Like, you know, they actually take the card and they actually clock out.
Like the old punch cards.
Oh yeah. I get it now. Yeah.
So what I thought was kind of cool too, cause like you guys traded a little bit back and forth in the first bit of the season, but mm-hmm. you guys went on a tear. Like,
oh yeah,
in the middle of the season,
every single week,
just like boom, boom. It was like win, win, win. And that's when I started saying to you, like, I was like, I don't know, dude, I think Ben got this.
Yeah. Matt was following up with me every week. He's like, I think he's going to win, man.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's like, I think he's getting close. And then he's like, he's number two, man. Like, I get texts every week. I was looking at the
money earned, and I was like, he's number two. And
imagine being the person that like already knew, and people are like, I think you won.
And like doing this podcast, we have a limited amount of time. So Matt took on the TV show while I took on a book.
That's right.
Right? So I was reading. I was like, oh, that's great, man. Glad you're having fun watching TV. I'm here studying.
At least you got to fill it though, right?
But it was all good. Yeah, but so, no, he was giving me updates.
That's the other thing too, is like you had to wait like a year because it was recorded like last summer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That must be insane.
It was like, but I mean, we're at such a big production, right? Like
it's CBS,
and it's fun too. Wow. It's also fun like when we had that Final Four watch party, like seeing people's reactions, right? Like it was like a true reaction. But yeah, I mean, of course it was hard, right? Because we didn't even know when it was going to air.
So how did you watch the show in Canada? How did you watch the show? Was it on what channel?
I just watched it on. It was on Global.
It was on here Global.
In Canada, yeah, Global. Yeah. Cool. You could stream it right now. You can rewatch it on Paramount.
Oh, it's on Paramount.
And Stack TV. As
oh,
well.
I have Paramount.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So they're always
I just recorded it every week and then just watched it when I could. Like when Ansa V fell asleep, I was just like popping it.
You probably had spoilers though, eh? Like just,
No, it was pretty good. Well, sometimes I watched it live, but sometimes I didn't, right? There's a part there where I had like three and I like couldn't get to all three of them. I had to like binge watch three of them at a time kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But there were some spoilers, but whatever. Yeah. Like I don't care.
Yeah, right?
It's like The finale is what matters. As long as I didn't see like Ben got eliminated,
then I know.
Like,
yeah. I know, right?
The little I read up about this show, it's like the first time that they came up to Canada to do it. Eh?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And
yeah.
they wanted to do it a few years ago, but COVID kind of messed that up.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's true, but like even COVID was still huge. Like, especially when you're running a big production, like as soon as somebody gets it,
mm-hmm.
right, then it would just ruin the whole thing. So like, you know, you had to be safe that way. But I mean, you know, Phil, especially the host, Phil Kogan, right, from Amazing Race, like he's just a real genuine person, like as you would see him on the show,
yeah,
like the exact same.
Oh, man. Cool.
Like he's a super nice guy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So okay, back to the like the not telling anybody, who did you tell, who knew?
Nobody, buddy.
Really? Nobody?
Yeah, you can't.
Outside of Carly?
Your parents didn't tell your dad?
You didn't tell your dad?
No. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Liabilities, man. Liabilities.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, That's fair. I was just like, you know, because like I was sitting there and I was talking with somebody. Was it my aunt? And she was like, oh, his parents must know. Like, you know, Carly's parents must know, whatever. And I was like, well, I don't know. I was like, because they have to sign contracts, NDAs and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to screw with any of that money and everything, right? So
it was tough, man. It was tough. It was definitely tough. I mean, especially when you won, right? Like, not so much like if you, I made it to the final three or whatever. Like, yeah, it was tough. But, I mean, it was worth it. And now you kind of get to reap that all in.
So, when you think back, like you would think that the person, so in the final three, what was the gentleman's name who had that struggle with kind of hammering that stuff?
Kenji,
right?
Yeah.
Poor guy, man. I felt that.
He wanted it, right? Like, yeah. I mean, so did everyone, but he really, it hurt him.
Yeah. And I think he was just frustrated because he just like, obviously you guys like, it came down to the two of you, and you were really neck and neck at one point. Like you had a really good lead, and I was like, "Oh, he's walking away with this."
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
And then he just out of nowhere caught right back up. I was like, "Holy crap!" Yeah.
Where's Kenji from?
Kenji's from Ohio.
Yeah.
Point, Nova Scotia.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry,
but it's just one of those things where I was like, I felt like that was one of those scenes, and they kept going back to him and everything and showing, and I was just kind of like, "Oh man, I feel for that dude." Mm-hmm. Like I just wanted him to get on. Like, you know, as much as I didn't want him to win.
Yeah. I think his struggle was in a previous challenge that he won with the stake driving of the apple orchard. You know, you're driving that into dirt, right? So, I mean, the proper way to do it is let the stake driver do the work.
Right.
But in this one, it kind of fooled you, right? Because you're driving a metal rod into a log, right? So, even watch the show, you see everyone like, you got to use your weight into it. I mean...
Yeah. He definitely did a different technique than the
other. Yeah, and you know, and that's just, you know, in a lot of competitions, that's just how things happen, right? That's how the way the cookie crumbles is just, you know, you might have a bad day or you make a mistake and that could cost you, right? But at the end of the day, he made it to the final three and that's something he should be proud of, right?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
I think anyone who even made it on the show, it's going to be good for their personal business.
100%. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is not the first time you had a little bit of spotlight either, because you had HGTV, so talk a little bit about that too.
Sorry, what?
So he was on HGTV, he was featured on HGTV for his tile setting.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, when that happened, that was with Mandy Renahan from Yarmouth.
Cool.
And it was called Trading Up, and basically they called me, they were looking for a tiler, and this is before I even started my tile business. But when I was there, I mean, she supports the blue collar trades. She's great that way with women, right, in the blue collar industry. But yeah, man, like I didn't even have my tile business start, and they actually pushed me to start my business. So being on that show and doing the tile work for them actually expanded my horizon to be like, you know what, I can do this. Like, and they were like, you're really good at it. You can do this. And I always wanted to push the limits of, you know, the tile world and not just come in and just lay, you know, a commercial floor. I wanted to like really zone in on high quality tile work. Right?
So you have a business now, right?
So you should plug your business.
Yeah, it's a good time to plug your business.
Yeah, no, it's so my business is called Breakwater Tiling.
Love the name. Obviously, I get the name.
Yeah.
Okay, fill people in on the name. Where's it come from?
So basically, Herring Cove, small community where I'm from. They have a breakwater right off the heads, and you know, it's just a big thing with Herring Cove. Everyone knows what the breakwater is. And
it's very important to the survival of the cove.
Yeah,
very
I guess important. So. Yeah, that's actually, yeah. That's cool. A good way to put it.
Yeah.
Cool.
You're spot on there.
No, that's awesome. So,
I'm very important to the survival of the tile industry.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
And your phone's probably blowing up now with business, eh?
I mean, for sure, but like I have always... I was doing very well before this show. Nice. I mean, I had my contractors, you know, that use me and designers know my work. I mean, it was nervous getting into it because there's a difference from a tile installer that comes in and just wants to kind of get the job done, right? But then there's other stuff where you go into million-dollar homes and you everything has to be perfect, right?
Now, do you do this now, or have you considered, like, do you do social media where you kind of show some, like, expert tiling designs that you've done and stuff?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
People can see it on TikTok and all that?
Yeah, so basically I do a lot of my stuff. My platform is, I mean, there's a little bit on Facebook, but I mainly use Instagram.
Okay.
So all my stuff on Instagram, cool. Breakwater Tiling.
Breakwater Tiling.
Yeah.
Is on there. The podcast follows it.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
And I follow the podcast.
Exactly. There's a little bit of mutual love there. I guess a little bit there is like kind of what I love about this is, and this is where we can kind of get a little bit personal a little bit, but, you know, we have your championship belt, so you're literally a champion,
mm-hmm.
You know, but we are kind of sitting here having some non-alcoholic beers today. Yeah. Why don't you talk a little bit about where you were a few years ago and some of the struggles that you've had and, you know, kind of going like from maybe a low to this extreme high.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, as a lot of people know, I mean, it wasn't really portrayed on the show, but it talked about my struggle with addiction. I'm 4 years sober. Basically, where it all kind of started from was, I would say, you know, everyone kind of parties in their younger years, right? Like mm-hmm. before, like in their 20s or whatever, which was fine. But then you start experimenting with other things and stuff, but I would say it really became a problem when I went out west. And you know, I definitely gained a good work ethic for being out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hard workers out there, but there also is a lot of other things that happen out there.
Sure. I've been out west too. I've experienced it firsthand. I've seen friends go down terrible roads.
Yeah, you spend some time out west.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, I mean, there is a lot of people that go out there and they make a good dime and they're smart about it, and that's fine. There's nothing to take away from that industry, right? It's a great mm-hmm. industry, but when you work 21 days on, 3 days off, you know,
no life, no family, isolated,
right? Yeah. It's hard to accept where you are in your life. You know, where am I going to go after this? I'm stuck.
What's the point of all this?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and then, you know, luckily I didn't buy a big truck or buy a big home
mm-hmm.
Where some people actually are just semi-stuck out there because they have to make that money, right? So that's where it's not so much a depression, but in a way it kind of is, right?
Yeah, I think totally is part of it. A big part I came home was homesick. I mean, I really missed my family and friends and the environment. Nova Scotia is a beautiful place to live.
Yeah, I know it is.
Right?
And a lot of people come back, right?
Most of them come back.
Yeah.
I went out with six guys and four or five of them are back.
Yeah, yeah there you go. Yeah. That just goes.
All of them except one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, man, like, for me, it stemmed from just trying to find my own identity with myself, right? So I was trying to mask that with other things, trying to numb every day I was out there, not happy with myself. And, you know, eventually I did make the move to come home.
Now, was it mostly just alcohol?
It was alcohol, but it was other things.
Right? Okay.
One other thing particularly.
Sure.
I mean, it's not that I'm embarrassed to say that, but same stuff that comes with you know, when you're at West, everyone knows what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, it just was getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
So I came home. I had a great support system through my parents. You know, and at the time, people don't suspect that. You kind of hide all that in, right? So when it comes out, at the start, you struggle to explain how you're feeling, but I mean, they were very supportive. I had a great support system.
Well, you come from a really great family. That's I know I mean. Your family
yeah.
really well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. And, I mean, the hard thing about it was like, you know, I always did well in my life,
mm-hmm.
and then it was like, what happened now, right? And it's not like my life was spiraling down. It's just I couldn't figure out where I was going with my life, and if I kept on going at this route, like there was nothing good that was going to come out of it.
Mm.
So then I went fishing. And that wasn't great either. So, I mean,
well, what was terrible about the fishing?
The same sort of thing. Like, I was with a great fisherman, Gussie Rhino. He's from Sambro.
Okay.
Great cool. family. Would take me in, help me with the same thing. They knew I was going through issues.
Yeah.
but same sort of lifestyle. You're constantly gone. You have to love it, right? To go fishing all the time. And I was just like, is this what I'm doing for the rest of my life now? I stopped at the old rigs and now I'm fishing. I couldn't find what I wanted to do. And everyone says, we'll try to figure out what you would like to do in life. And I mean, when you're almost in your 30s or your late 20s, you're thinking like, man, like it's so hard to start over.
It starts to get scary.
Yeah, it starts to get scary.
Yeah.
So I stopped fishing. I worked for this guy in a renovation company, and then I just started really loving tile.
You saw a tile floor, you just went effing crazy.
Tiles are cool. It was soothing for
that's
me.
That's awesome.
It was therapeutic.
Seriously,
right?
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what though? That makes a lot of sense because like the one of those the coloring things that was really big for therapy for a little while. I can't remember.
I know what you're talking about. Those little intricate coloring.
But it would kind of be like that, right? Except you're using your hands and crafting and stuff like that. But it's a therapeutic, like, where you get to go in and do a puzzle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Concentrate and make a design or piece of art.
So I don't know. And then it was, the whole hustle side of things. For a while there, I lost a lot of trust in people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I would slip up and then I would go on a stint again where I wouldn't have a drink or get into other things. And then I would slip up again. So you were constantly losing trust. And I kept on in my heart, I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get through this. And at the end of the day, I will always say if someone's struggling with addiction, only you can help yourself. You can have great support system and you can go to those AA meetings and you can have all that support around you because it is there.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if you don't want it enough, then no one else is going to fix that for you, right?
So, and you're fortunate to get out early and get out young enough that you still have going to have so much of your life to live, man.
Absolutely.
And you're going to have so much of your life to just kind of grow and learn and teach and be an influencer and just finding something you dialed into.
Yeah.
And what I love about it, too, it's tile setting, right?
Yeah.
People aren't going to say tile setter. It's just kind of like, I mean, insurance.
It's
not something you're 8 years old and you tell your mom and dad, I'm going to be an insurance guy. Yeah.
The only person who says that is someone who's like, dad owns an insurance company. That's it.
Right. I totally respect it. I totally dig you found your groove, man. Yeah. And it's such so cool.
And I don't know where it came from, man, to be honest. Like, it just happened. And I mean, just trust the process in your life. If anyone's having,
well, you were looking, right? So credit yourself, man. It sounds like you had a heart and you said, "Hey, look, I'm just out here. I feel lost. I don't know what the f's going on." You dialed back the leisure activities, we'll say, and you found something that really meant something to you, and it transformed your life. And now you've got a big championship WWE style belt that you can carry around.
It weighs the same as my child.
The belt's so huge.
You know what, though? This is what I think. This is a big reason why I do why I like doing these podcasts is hearing these stories. Because first of all, there's so many things that we can take away from that. Is obviously one, it's never too late.
No,
it's never too late.
Yeah,
if you're 59 and you're like, hey, I never really found my footing and happiness in life, whatever.
Right.
Do it.
Exactly.
Go and do it.
100%. Just find something for it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it's like, you can be in these low moments in your life and, with the will, if you have made up your mind, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
And you can literally go from that to having a championship belt, which I'm very envious about. Growing up a wrestling fan, I always wanted one.
Day one, when you started laying them tiles down, that was a real shit job. It had to be. It had to be tough at first.
Learning it
right off the cuff. Yeah. You probably had to work on it a bit to get it down.
To get it perfected, I still do, right?
Yeah,
that's where I would hate it if I knew everything I was going to do. But that was the process, is the challenge of every time you go into a shower, it's something different.
Yeah.
Right.
I couldn't see it being easy at first. I just think it's a nightmare when I look at it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh my gosh.
But YouTube helps a lot of people.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I dialed in that YouTube and just,
I think I was a whole weekend doing Gracie's floor with laminate. Right. The first time I'm like, oh, this looks easy.
And I've laid laminate.
Yeah.
I've laid laminate. I've even installed a door. It's not, you wouldn't want to pay me to install your door, but it's good enough. It does the job. But I can tell you right now, tile, especially when I look at the floor and how small those
grout,
tiles are.
Man. Grout's tough.
All that stuff. It is not a, it is.
Is this even tile or is this peel on stuff?
No, this is tile.
Oh, right on. Cool.
Yeah,
I thought we call out the floors here at Serpent Brewing.
We are calling the floors for fun. But you know what? We're getting officially approved kind of thing.
Yeah,
right?
Could you rate this tile like Gordon Ramsay would? Would you give it a high rating or a low rating? Would it be?
I mean, it's intricate for sure.
Intricate, nice.
Sure, but you're not stage there would have a better corner on it, but
there, you go, yeah. There we go. I like
taking it apart, yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah, I do that everywhere. I go over to my parents. I was like, yeah, Dad, like, you know,
yeah, that's awesome.
What were you doing back in the day?
So, okay. Yeah. So one question I have is like, obviously, so like, the winnings. So like you could win a little bit every time, divide it all up. The grand prize was, it was $200,000 and a truck.
US. Yeah.
Yeah. US and a truck.
And a truck.
Yeah.
And a truck.
Wow. But so that's what you're picking up this week.
But yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I'm picking that up. Yeah,
that must be extremely exciting.
It is. Yeah. Literally my very first brand new vehicle.
Okay. Let's plug the truck. What kind of truck is it?
So it's a Ford, F-250 Lariat Super Duty.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Oh,
that's not a cheap truck.
That's a truck.
And I went diesel. I know there was electric. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I went diesel.
Oh, did you have the option to go in electric or diesel?
I mean, it's basically like, you know, it's keeping it through Ford. All the seasons before, they had Super Duties. For my industry in the tile work, I felt like, I think that Ford Lightning's a beautiful truck.
Sure.
But just a little bit too, like, technology for me to be like, okay, where is electric pump station at?
Yeah,
like,
it's still a challenge in Nova Scotia.
Yeah,
that's like electric stations for the trades.
That's a good point.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's not even just that. Like, if he was just using it for leisure, that's one thing.
Yeah,
but if someone pays him to go in the middle of like Wentworth to do a job or something like
that. Yeah, I don't want to be driving that down there.
Right,
yeah. Right.
Right? Yeah. That's the thing is like it's not quite as available to have electric cars.
I don't think they understood that, right? It's just like, but I mean.
Well, even where we all live, like I don't live too far. I mean, I'm in the Sambro loop, we'll say too, right? Like, and you know, good luck finding an EV where we live.
Look at it, man. It's a beautiful looking truck. It really is.
No, they are cool.
So, okay. Yeah. So $200 US. So it's a, and it's
$200,000
US. So you had to win that, or when you win that, I'm guessing you have to pay US taxes then. No, or you don't.
And they don't.
No way.
Because how it works is they filmed it in Canada, right. And in Canada it's considered lottery winnings, right? Which is free.
Cool. It's the only for the record.
Yeah.
Only tax system that is better than the US.
Yeah.
Because you don't, lottery.
You don't pay taxes on Canadian lottery wins.
Now, they could have federally taxed us if, say, for example, we were filmed in the States.
That's right.
Then they would federally tax us. But where it was filmed in Canada, the word that I got is that, no, it's not.
Wow.
And that was coming from the CRA themselves.
So you
have that in writing.
Yeah.
What's fantastic with that is that you had a huge leg up on, I would assume, the American people who were competing, because I would assume that their government probably would have taxed them.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't even that. It was this season was nice because every individual challenge, if you came first in those individual challenges, every time they had them, you kept on upping the ante where you could win 2,000.
Right.
And so I think this season I had the most individual wins as well as.
Oh, yeah, you did. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I was keeping track of it a little bit, but it says here, like, total earned money at the end was 240.
Yeah.
So 40,000, I guess, is what if you subtract it. The next person was, I believe, actually was Kenji at 33.
Yeah. He won quite a bit of individual challenges as well.
Well, actually, all three. So the top three people were the top three.
I know.
He picked a stacked team.
Yeah.
Nice, man.
Yeah. And awesome. But, I mean, another thing, though, like, you got to say is, like, just because people either punched out first or not, like, man, like, they had other stuff to get. It just wasn't their time, I guess you would say. Like, it just didn't – the cards didn't play right for them. For example, Yessie, like, she went out very soon, but she is a beast, man. Like, really big competitor.
I'm wondering if it was her. I'd have to go back and take a look and everything. But, like, there was someone who, like, was, like, ninth.
Mm.
And she's – like, I think it was a she, so it might have been her, but she took home, like, 20 grand. And that's like she punched out early on.
Oh yeah, it's probably Yessie because won.
Maybe her,
yeah.
She punched out early and still walked away with more than someone who punched out
first. Our whole team all at least took a minimum of 20 grand home because we won the final team thing.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. So that's the thing. Lots of people who this is another incentive to stay in because people who got out early had a chance to stay in there.
Yeah. I love that concept, right?
It's a fantastic concept.
It makes it like, you know, it's weird, man, because, like, it's such a huge thing. Like, it's more than just, okay, people are on there. They're competing for money. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Whatever. But it's, like, it's really showing the world that, like, you can, like, men or,
yeah.
you know, women can do anything in the trade industry, right? Like, yeah. It's a desperately needed problem. That's what I mean. It's a desperately needed thing in the world. And it's just, I feel like the show should be a lot bigger than what it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a fun show. And then when people do realize that we're, you know, they knew me or they knew the Canadians on the show this year. You know, I feel like Canada really took to it and was like, oh my gosh, this show's great. Like,
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
It sounds right? great, man.
Well, yeah. The thing, I didn't know anything about it until it was announced that you were on it.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, you know, but I actually enjoyed it. I'm not a quote unquote reality TV guy.
Yeah.
There's a couple, I have a couple of guilty pleasures.
But, yeah, yeah.
Outside of that, like, but I really enjoyed this. But I think I like cooking reality shows.
Yeah.
And this is kind of within that concept. It's a craft.
Yeah.
It's not just like people backstabbing each other and things like that.
No.
It is people who are skilled at something that are judged on that skill.
Right.
And it's just a competition, which I really like.
It's pretty real, right? Like there's not much editing, like as far as what I know, you know.
Yeah. It's awesome, man. Yeah. Let me ask you this. What's next now? You know, after all this, just going to chill for a minute and kind of enjoy it? Or you plan to expand the business, or what are you going to do?
I mean, the business is the main stress I have is just while this was all going on, it's like, okay, well, I have clients booked here and I just, you know, I need a week off just to take all this in, which they were very understanding, but it's just keep on doing my thing. Right.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully there was talk of an all-star season.
Oh, wow.
So maybe that'll be in the works down the line. I don't know. It's not my call. But, you know, anything, you know, the sky's the limit, right? It really is.
We'll make sure that we do a couple things here. We're going to put your business just in their episode description here for this show.
Yeah.
And also, I'll figure out if I can get a link to the Paramount show for people that have the Paramount TV streaming app, so they can actually just watch it. And I'll encourage them to watch it before we talk to you, so they'll get a little bit more of this conversation, the nuggets you and Matt were talking about, right? Yeah, so they can get the most out of this one, man.
Yeah.
But I got to say thank you so much for coming out.
Yeah, thank you. It was
awesome. It was a pleasure, man. It's a big thing for Halifax, Canada, Nova Scotia, and
100%.
Herring Cove.
It is, and honestly, again, represent. Just one of those things where I think it's a great story to tell and to tell people and get that out. So
all right. Appreciate it. Let's close on one more cheers.
Yeah, gentlemen. Yeah.
And there we go.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys.
Very best.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Afternoon Pint. If you have an idea for the show or would like to be a part of it, email us at afternoonpint@gmail.com.